So true that God changes atmospheres, he changes perspectives, he changes outlook, he changes our lives in his presence. And aren't we grateful for that reality this morning? I'm being really careful with my glasses because I snapped them when I arrived, so they may or may not last the morning. But I was aware of what Liv just referred to as well this morning. And before I move on, John and Jana snuck in the back this morning. Many of us know John and Jana from MLG, and it's lovely that they surprised us with their presence this morning. And we're grateful. We honour them in the Lord, and it's lovely to be able to be together. Here's the thing. I notice, and we sung about this morning, is that he is a good and gracious king, isn't he? He is king. He is king. I'm so mindful of this at the moment. He is king. But this king, he is good and he is gracious. And he does hold us in his hands. And don't we need that to be true? But it is true. This God who we know and who we love and who we worship, this one, he is good and he is gracious. And here we are. This is going to come as a real shock. I'm 50. Now, some of you are thinking, whoa, that's old. And some of you are thinking, oh, he's just a boy. Okay? So wherever we're at, here's the thing, Tony. I've discovered in my long or short time, and I came to know Jesus when I was about 18, and I've discovered this. And people teach this, and it's also a discovery that our God, so it's like God, our God, I found that he is a good and a gracious king. He moves with loving kindness in your life and in mine. And here's the thing, sometimes life is really hard. It is. Some of you little ones haven't figured that out yet, but it is. But, through it all, the ongoing testimony and therefore confession of our lives is that he is a good and a gracious King. And we're singing about it this morning. Morning, Mike. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. This is the testimony and confession of our lives. So what I'm going to do this morning, I want to jump into, really, I'm piggybacking on Lewis. Mental block for a minute. Lewis talked to us recently, and he mentioned this story about Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. So you can turn there if you want. And what I want to talk about, what I want to point to with this background awareness that we know and love and serve a good and gracious king. So thank you for singing that this morning. And then what I want to point to is this. The liberating power of the lordship of Christ. And it's important that we put that together. The liberating power of the lordship of Christ. He is a liberator in who he is and in what he does in our lives. So we're going to jump in. Now then, I'm going to try my best not to be too long, because in August we try and like be a bit quicker, but I'm a bit rubbish at that. But I'm going to try. All right. So we've got this concept, this truth, this reality, the liberating power of the lordship of Jesus. So it's like, whoa, big concept. But now what we're going to do is Sunday school story. Okay? So listen to this. So this is the beginning of Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho. And he was just passing through. I've got to pause now because I love this. Do you find this all the way through the New Testament? Is that you find that as Jesus was just passing through, it's like just passing through, and then it's like transforming lives as he's passing through. This is what he does. So here we are. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. Oh, that's good. And was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry. Hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I love this simple account, this story. And we find this guy, Zacchaeus. And what we learn, you know, when the Bible talk refers a lot to these people, sometimes you read it as publicans and sinners. And he's not talking about the kind of the owner of an alehouse. He's talking about publicans and sinners. He's talking about tax collectors. And we get, and Lewis is making this point for us, you get quite a lot of reference to these people. And this guy here, Zacchaeus, he is a chief tax collector. Now, let's just take a step back for a minute and look at this fella. Okay? So he's a tax collector. So this guy, being a tax collector, he was a Jewish person, but he was working for the Roman occupation. So you've kind of got this situation where you've got your people group, if you like, and then you've got this occupying force in the territory, and then this guy is working for the occupying force. And what he's doing is collecting taxes. But he's not just collecting taxes, he's kind of increasing the tax so he can skim off the top and benefit and grow in wealth through the occupying force that is in opposition to his people. So it's like, who is this fella? And not only that, but he is a chief among these people. And it's like, this guy is hated, if I can put it like this, by his brethren. He is hated by them. And it's kind of like, I get it. It's like, you would, wouldn't you? This guy, he's aligned himself with the Romans, and he's kind of working, if you like, in collaboration with them against his own people. But in a sense, he's using this occupying force in a way, he's benefiting from both sides, if you like. So he's kind of in the middle somewhere, and he's sort of working with and for, in that sense, the Romans, but he's not one of them. He's kind of, in some sense, independent of them, but he's benefiting from them and from their system. And so then he's using it to his advantage. And then his Jewish heritage and his people, he's kind of, in a sense, made himself an outcast of that society. So he's not one of them, in a sense, either. In terms of his heritage, he is, but within his circumstance, he is being pushed out and alienated because of his sin and his behavior and his approach. And he's kind of like, he's taking advantage of his own people. And he's getting rich off the back of them. And it's like, and then you find him in the middle, if you like, of this contradiction, this difficulty. And here he is. And he's got really wealthy off the back of it. And one of the things that I think you notice with this hated, rich Roman collaborator, and so, but he's not a Roman, but he used his relationship with them to his advantage. He was a Jew by birth, but he was shunned by his people because of how he treated them. In a way, he was not one thing or another. He was, if you like, independent of both, separate. He was separate. And it's like, whoa, who is this guy? That's amazing. Zacchaeus is kind of like he is independent and he's not really recognizing any authority but his own. Do you see that? He's not really, in consistency, recognizing any authority, whether it is Roman, whether it is his heritage, in a kind of complete consistency. He's not recognizing any of it. He is living as a law unto himself within the context. Is this making sense? And you think, whoa, this is strong. This independence of this man. And Jesus later, he refers to this man as lost. Just lost. Simple, isn't it? He didn't know he was lost initially, but Jesus refers to his condition of this kind of, if I could put it like this, aggressive independence as lost. He was lost and he didn't know it until this day. And this is really, if I can kind of, we're going to have to just keep moving, but really this lostness, this independence, this being my own authority in my own life, and nobody else is going to rule here. This is the condition of man. This is Zacchaeus in his life in this moment. It's just like, I'm going to benefit from this. I'm going to benefit from this. I am going to do that which is right in my own eyes. And I am independent. And it's like, whoa, this is strong. And here he is. And Jesus comes in this story, and I feel like as you read through, there's like an urgency in the story. So why? Well, you can see lots of things, but there's an urgency in this story, and you find that Jesus is passing through Jericho. He's passing through. There is this kind of movement and this activity right from the beginning. Jesus is passing through, and there's crowds, crowds of people. And there's activity and noise and haste. And then there's Zacchaeus. And he's just got this desire, I want to see Jesus. And this is, he was in that condition, but something's going on. It's like, I want to see Jesus. And in amongst the crowds and the difficulty, and he's just like, oh no, what shall I do? And he's little and he can't see. And so he thinks, I've got a good idea. And he runs, he thinks, I can see the way that Jesus is going in his passing through, and I'm going to go and I'm going to climb the tree. And so he does, and he runs. Haste. He runs and he climbs the tree, and then Jesus comes. And in Jesus' beginning, if you like, interaction and communication, he looks up and he's like, Zacchaeus, hurry down. Hurry, there's an urgency here. And then the Bible picks it up again and it says, Zacchaeus, in response to what Jesus said, this is important, Jesus spoke to him, he responded in obedience because it said that he hurried down. And you see this little man up in this sycamore tree rushing to get down and you think, oh, careful now, but he's in a haste and he's in a rush, and he rushes and he climbs down the tree, and then he goes in eagerness with Jesus. And there's this urgency, I think, in this story. And Zacchaeus' response is lovely, I think. It's simple. He responds to the Lord Jesus, who's inviting himself for tea. And Zacchaeus responds to him. And then we get here, verse 8. I love the profound simplicity of the Bible. Verse 8 says this. Zacchaeus stopped. In amongst all this haste and all this activity and all this hurry now, get down from the tree, and he does, and he goes with the Lord. And he says, Zacchaeus stopped. It's good to stop sometimes. And then we get this little insight into the dynamic and the activity, the exchange of what is going on really within this story, within this context, within these relationships. It says, Zacchaeus stopped and said to Jesus, Lord. Whoa. What has just happened to this sinner, tax collecting, horrible man? This pariah of society. And he stops. Something's arrested him. And he stops. And he says to Jesus, Lord. Massive, this. It's massive. And all, it seems to me, all true transformation begins to occur with the recognition that Jesus is Lord. Amen? Honestly, it does. Because this is an internal thing. A response, a heart change from this independent and in one way aggressive little man. And something changes, and all true transformation begins to occur with the recognition that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Not some occupying force. Not some occupying force. Not my natural heritage. It's not Lord. It's not in authority in this sense in my life. Not even myself and natural independence. Does that make sense? It's like you can have an occupying force, and in this sense, not in authority. Jesus is in authority. You can have your natural heritage and things that come from that, not in authority, not the determining factor in my life. You can have my own natural independence, and in all of us, that natural independence, that sin, it is strong. And it comes out in all sorts of different ways. And none of these things can be, need to be in authority. But we come to a recognition, Jesus, good and gracious King, Jesus is Lord. And I come to recognize in my life his lordship. And then I'm not Lord anymore in my life, but Jesus is Lord, good and gracious King. Wonderful. So think about this for a minute. Years ago in this country, Harry, there were kings in a different sense to they are now. And kings years ago, we know this, they had a lot of authority. And if the king said something, like it was a big deal and it happened, he could decree something, if you like, and we would respond in obedience to the king. The king had authority. And I think in this country, anyway, we don't need a history lesson, but there were kings. There were kings, and kings had authority. And here's the picture. Within that context, and this is has parallels for us, so within that context, you obviously would have a kingdom. If you've got a king, you've got a kingdom. You have got the sphere of authority and influence that he exercises. And so you've got a king and you've got a kingdom. And within a kingdom, in this old-fashioned sense, you would have a throne room, wouldn't you? You would have a throne room. It's where the throne was. It's not rocket science, is it? It's where the throne was. And if we could put it like this, there was the seat of authority, the throne, in the throne room. And you know where I'm going with this? Someone sits on that throne, don't they? And it was true in this sense. And I think this is, in some ways, and there are parallels here, a picture of us and of our hearts. And we have, if I can put it like this, internally, a throne room. There is a throne there. Someone, if you can put it like this, is enthroned in your life and in my life. Someone sits on the throne. It's a big deal, isn't it? It matters who sits on the throne. And in a way, it's a picture of our heart. And so often people know Jesus as Saviour or friend or healer. But it is only when we own him as Lord that we discover our right place in the world. So that's good news right there. When we own him and know him and see him as Lord. He is my Lord and my God, this good and gracious King. He is my Lord. He is the one who is in authority in my life. And the wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus is he won't demand that of you. He won't demand it of me. But there is something beautiful here because he invites us into a relationship with himself where he's like, I will be an authority in your life. And you don't need to be because you're going to make a right hash of it. So I will take that place in your life and I will be an authority in your life. And it's a beautiful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. And we can... amazingly, we can allow Jesus to be Lord. And Jesus' lordship is not one of dominating authority, but of liberating power. Can you see the difference? When Jesus is Lord, so not some foreign occupying force, but when Jesus is Lord in my life, that reality has a liberating effect on me. He is Lord, I am not. But the fact that that becomes true in a life, it liberates the life. And it liberates the life to be the person you were always intended to be. We discover, if I can put it like this, we discover our true selves. As he is enthroned, and we are not. It is a liberating power. This is right good news, everybody. Honestly, it is. It is a liberation, and this you see the paradox, but it's true. There is a liberation that he is Lord. Why? Because he is a good and gracious king, and he will hold me, and he will keep me, and he will lead me. And he knows the end from the beginning. And he is loving in his kindness towards me. And it's like, oh, don't you want him to be in charge in your life? I do. I do. And it's like, I found, I was going to share my testimony a bit this morning, but in a sense, we're kind of doing that differently. Because I have found in my life, inside my own submission to the Lord Jesus, and that he has become Lord in my life, he has saved me from me as he has been Lord and King and in authority, and he saved me from me, and I'm so very, very grateful. It's wonderful. But it does require submission. And we can get words, can't we? And they're like dirty words. Submission these days can be one of them. And it's like, no, we're seeing it all wrong. We're seeing it all wrong. Submission to Jesus is a liberation of a life. It is not something which suppresses and curtails and makes small. No, it is a great emancipation that he is Lord of my life. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I just want to kind of like recommend this to us. And like, guys, this is the way. This is the way. When we, oh, this is good. We enthrone him. He is the one in here who sits on the throne. And he impacts everything. Everything. Every decision. Every aspiration. Every desire. He impacts it. Why? Because he's enthroned in my life. And I love him to be there. There's no coercion. It's like, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Jesus, we enthrone you. Liberated by his lordship. What do you reckon? Liberated by his lordship. This is a way to live. It really is liberated. Liberated, set free. Set free, this is what this does, set free from the tyranny of selfishness. What do you reckon? Oh, hungry for that, isn't it? Hungry for that. Liberated from the tyranny of selfishness. That's your other option. Amazing. Liberated. And we find this in this story of Zacchaeus. What happens when he stops and he says, Lord, and then immediately after, generosity of life. It's like, I want to give half of what I have to the poor. If I've defrauded anybody, I'm going to give back to them above and beyond what I took. Suddenly, what happens when Jesus is Lord? Transformation. Transformation. This is where it starts. And then it continues through a life. Transformation as a consequence of a right authority in your life. This is like testimony time, I am a wrong authority in my life. I am. 100%. Absolute car crash. Jesus in authority in my life. Wonderful liberation. Oh, here's one. Love. Love comes when Jesus is in authority in my life, when he's my Lord and my King, and my good and gracious King. He transforms me from the inside, and he puts love there. That's his kingdom. Love. And he puts love there, and it works out in different ways, in generosity of others. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
This authority of the Lord Jesus, him being Lord in my life, this is really where we begin to find purpose and meaning. It's all about him being Lord. All of this good stuff, this is where it starts. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. In my heart, where it matters, he is the one on the throne. Jesus, we enthrone you. It's like as a church, as a fellowship, as a communion of saints. This is it. Jesus, we enthrone you. This is powerful. This is powerful. This is kingdom stuff. Jesus, we enthrone you. And in this place, you rule and you reign. And your rule and your reign, it is wonderful. And it's liberating. And it sets people free on the inside. It transforms lives. And it breaks bondages. You remember when Jesus opened the book? He said, this is what I've come to do. And he gives us. Come to heal. Come to set free, and I've come to break bondages. This is how he does it in our lives. He comes and we enthrone him, and he's king in here. It's wonderful, isn't it? Let's own him in this way and move forward in this way. This is how we move forward. Do you know that? This is how we move forward. Jesus, we enthrone you. Full stop. Amen. Let me pray for us. Been too long. Lord Jesus, we love to be yours. We love to be yours. You really are good and gracious. And your loving kindness, it just seems to go on and on and on in your dealings with us as your people. And your patience and your goodness is everlasting. Blessed be your holy name. And Lord Jesus, this morning in our hearts, as we just look up to you, we look, and Lord, in freshness of response and of openness and of honesty, you are Lord in my life. You are Lord in our collective lives together. We enthrone you. We see you for who you are, good and gracious King. And we thank you for all of the liberating, emancipating consequences of you being in your right place in our lives and in your church. And we enjoy that this morning. We celebrate this truth and this reality, and we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for opening this up to us and inviting us in and being who you are, enabling us to be who you intended us to be. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. And increasingly, in this church, in our lives, in this city, we pray that you increasingly would be exalted in our lives and among your people. Be glorified, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.